The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.
So for the last time in 2017, we go to the United States to our great friends Marion McKeown and Cal Thomas. Thank you both of you very much for joining us on the programme in the year, the first year of Donald Trump as president. Well, we are sort of starting there because Cal, he was at it again last night. Train disaster in Seattle in which at least six people have died. And just a few hours after the train had derailed, he tweets his first tweet, and it is, "The train accident that just occurred in DuPont shows more than ever why our soon-to-be-submitted infrastructure plan must be approved quickly. $7 trillion spent in the Middle East while our roads, bridges, tunnels, railways and more crumble. Not for long." Now, 10 minutes later, he remembered, or somebody reminded him, to express some sympathy for those who'd been killed or who were injured and support the emergency services who were trying to deal with the issue. Does he have to try and turn everything to be about him and his politics?
Well, I think, Matt, that the cart was put before the horse again. He did express sympathy later, but that doesn't detract from the correctness of the earlier statement. Now, you may remember during the Obama administration, there were supposed to be shovel-ready jobs. Lots of money was appropriated for infrastructure by the Congress, but Vice President Joe Biden said later, gee, I guess all those jobs, yuck, 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 were not shovel-ready after all. So this is a problem. And by the way, this has been a problem for Amtrak, the National Train Service. For 25 years, Congress has refused to appropriate the money for a system that would automatically slow down these trains on major turns or in other potentially dangerous areas. We don't know all the details yet about this train wreck, but there were signs along the way, as there are on many motorways throughout the world, to advise you to start slowing down when you're approaching an area where lower speed is necessary. The train was supposed to be going 30 miles an hour. Instead, it was going 80 miles an hour. So I think there are a lot of things here that need to be investigated. But people have been arguing from both parties, by the way, for some years for a positive train control, it's called, to be put on all trains, and it hasn't been done.
Yeah, but Marion McKeown, when if it's anything he thinks there might be political advantage, such as an alleged terrorist attack, he's straight on to the tweets. But if it's something like a white man shooting loads of people dead, he's very quick to say, oh, well, we can't be jumping to any conclusions. We have to wait and see what really happened here.
Well, absolutely. And Cal, congratulations on that wonderful sidestep. And now we all know how Amtrak works, or doesn't work, as the case may be.
I'm one of the best dancers in the world.
I well believe it. Matt, you know, just back very quickly to Donald Trump and what he... It was so ungracious. I mean, there were people coming up to Christmas, at least six people who lost their relatives tragically, another 100 injured, and it's all about him. He's right. It was like after the Pulse nightclub shooting, 49 people shot dead. Oh, don't bother congratulating me for being right about terrorists. You know, he just has a tin ear because he doesn't really care about anything except himself. So, you know, this, once again, is not surprising. Make it political. You know, the same about in New York after the terrorists murdered eight people in New York. It was all about, oh, Chuck Schumer introduced the visa system or whatever. You know, we could go on and on, but it's Christmas, so we'll be charitable.
Okay, but Cal, there's a listener, Michael in Limerick, who says, Cal, it's a Republican Congress. It's Congress which has reduced the money to Amtrak for the last two terms.
Well, this has been going on, as I said, Matt, for 25 years. That covers the Clinton administration, Bush 43 administration, the Obama administration, or at least the last part of the Bush administration, and the current administration. I think after this, I'm hopeful that something is going to be done. But look, we can talk about Trump's personality. It's not going to change. He's 70 years old. I'm more interested in focusing on results. And I think his national security speech yesterday was excellent. He actually stuck to the prompter instead of going off and making ad libs. The stock market is up 5,000 points just this year.
Bubble.
I'm very happy with that.
That's a bubble. Cal, if you have a lot of money in the stock market, I would suggest try and get a lot of it into cash. That's a bubble. That's going to burst.
Nah, no. It's a 10-year average, Matt. I'm not going anywhere. It's going to be great. The stock market goes up an average, no matter who's in office, about 10% annually. And if you're not investing in America, Matt, I'd get some of that money over here.
I would liquidate part of that holding. Those stock prices are too high, Cal. But, you know, all the stuff that he comes out with as well, you know, started saying best economic performance, way better than Obama's. The job growth this year is actually lower than it was in the last 4 years under Obama. He's boasting now.
No, it is.
The job creation is lower than it was the last 4 years. Also, he boasts about the unemployment rate being lower than it was under Obama. And that's true. It is. But you know what? Before he got elected, he claimed the unemployment rate was fake on 19 separate occasions during the election campaign. He is benefiting from the flow through from the Obama years rather than suddenly the economy now suddenly flying where it wasn't under Obama.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's always the explanation we get from the left, Matt. You're repeating the Democrat talking points.
The Reagan
economic boom was credited to the previous administration. Reagan couldn't have done that if all these other Democrats hadn't been in office first. Look, let's not argue who gets the credit or who gets the blame. The fact is GDP growth, gross domestic product, is approaching 4%. Obama said that could never happen. His growth was a little over 1%, but it's happened in the first year of the Trump administration. Consumer confidence is up. People are buying like crazy for the Christmas season. They're happy again. You look at all of the polling, and it's nothing but positive, positive, positive. You're going to have a big, difficult time in 2018, Matt, trying to convince people otherwise.
Marion.
Cal, everybody wants the news to be good, but look, Obama inherited the worst recession since 1929, and there were 84 consecutive months of growth after that. Donald Trump is just literally, economically and every other way, standing on the shoulders of that very slow, painful growth for America. Yes, thank God it's still going in the right direction, but all it is a continuum. It's not this miracle he's pretending it is. So, you know, let's get a little bit real here. And, you know, for people who have money in the stock market, sadly I'm not one of them, but yes, they are doing very nicely. But look at the tax plan. Look at the people who are making very little money. Look at all the people that he promised to help. The people in Chicago where what the hell's going on. The opioid addicts, etc. That's all just being shunted to one side while he makes his buddies richer. So let's just keep it real. Let's keep the facts on this show, even if they're not anywhere else.
A listener says, great praise for Trump. He spoke well because he read from the teleprompter and didn't ad lib. In other words, the President of the United States can read. Americans can sleep well now, says Morgan of Waterford.
The listeners are on the ball today, I'll tell you. They're wide awake.
Come on, all you Dublin right-wingers, start writing in.
Okay, but hang on, Cal. You say about right-wingers. You know, it's always been a thing that right-wingers would say, governments don't create jobs. Now, Donald Trump is taking personal credit for the creation of 1.7 million jobs. If he created 7 of those 1.7 million jobs, he'd be doing well. Companies and people create jobs. That's what the right-wingers say, Cal.
Well, that's true, Matt. But look, with the cut, and it looks like it's going to be approved today. Maybe the House is going to vote on it shortly, the tax cut. The Senate may do it as early as tonight, send it to the President. He'll probably sign it tomorrow. The reduction in the corporate tax rate is going to be substantial, down to 21%. It's still too high, but it's much lower than it has been. And in other countries, Matt, where this has been tried, I was in Hungary this summer. They've cut their corporate tax rate from 19% to 9%. They've got a 4% economic growth already there in just the first few months. Look, the economy is going to turn around. It's going to head in the right direction. Yes, all presidents take credit for something good, and all presidents reject blame for something bad. That's politics. I don't care who gets the blame or the praise. All I want is the results, and that's what we're starting to see.
Great comment from a listener. Consumer spending is up because people in the United States are stockpiling goods for when Donald Trump starts a nuclear war.
Oh, please. Jeez. Is this stand-up comedy?
No, we'll stick with the stand-up comedy because we're going to move to the Sarah Palin family, okay?
Oh.
Yes, you knew that was coming, Cal. Marion, tell us about the latest involving her wacky family.
Do you know, this family, I mean, to think how close they were to the White House is really quite alarming back in 2008. Her son, you know, all joking aside, this is actually quite a tragic story. Sarah Palin has a very troubled son who's 28 years old, Track Palin, with a name like that, God love him. But anyway, he was sent into the Army when he was about 18 or 19. And I remember at the time hearing that, you know, the kid was sent to join the Army because otherwise he was going to end up in prison. Joined the Army, became... served in Iraq, and you know, it was parlayed during the 2008 election when she was running with John McCain very nicely for her. But he came out of the Army and has really been very troubled since. On the other night, he apparently got drunk and took some pills, according to Sarah Palin. She made a 911 call to the police. He said he was coming around to his family's house, had threatened to beat up his father on the phone beforehand. His father was ready for him with a gun. You know, you can't make this stuff up, sadly. He broke in a window, jumped on his father, apparently beat the living daylights out of him, caused several lacerations to his head and face, and the police were called, and then he went up on the roof and started taunting the police and calling them peasants. Now, to me, it's interesting, and I congratulate the police that they seem to have taken a very conciliatory approach. Would it they have been the same if it had been another young man who was not from the Palin family?
If he'd
probably
been black.
If he'd been black, exactly. You know, so, I mean, I am glad nobody was killed. I'm glad that they were, but you know, it is worth making that point. Anyway, he's now sitting in prison, cooling his heels. It's the second domestic assault incident he's involved in. He threatened a girlfriend with an AR-15 rifle 2 years ago. At that time, Sarah Palin blamed Barack Obama for the fact that his girlfriend was hiding under her bed, terrified, after trying to call the police, after he had beaten her up and threatened her with a machine gun. Apparently Barack Obama can be blamed for everything.
Well, hang on, Cal.
Republican world.
These are the type of people that you allow to have guns?
Matt, you know, to bring out the race thing, you know, it's like bringing up the Protestant and Catholic thing in Ireland. I mean, this is just totally inappropriate. I'm sorry. Let me finish, please. If anybody who has had a troubled child, and there are many people who have, you've got to have sympathy for them. Now, I've made fun of Sarah Palin and their crazy family and the reality TV that is their family in the past, but I feel real sympathy for this. You can't blame the parents for someone who is mentally disturbed. Now, she has said before that she thinks he has PTSD. He was in Iraq. I can't imagine what combat is like. I hope I never find out. But I think some sympathy is warranted here, and it's a very sad case, and I hope he gets the help he needs.
Okay, let's move on. So, and Cal, you mentioned earlier the Trump blueprint for national security. What's in it?
Well, this is something that is required to be delivered by the President of the United States, no matter who it is, every year. I think, you know, one of the things that he has carried through on this is putting America first. And we just cannot be, as George McGovern once said, the policeman of the world. We can't go everywhere. John F. Kennedy had a great line, we're going to, you know, go anywhere, pay any price in the defense of liberty. But we just don't have the money. We don't have the manpower. He's also said that people who are countries that benefit from the American presence, the military presence, are going to have to start paying more for our presence there. I think that is a perfectly reasonable thing to do, especially in economies like South Korea, which is booming, Japan, which has enjoyed the umbrella of our protection for decades since World War II. There's no reason why the taxpayers in America have to pay for benefits that other countries are getting. And then I think he's taking, as he said, a more realistic approach to the world. All of these things combined, and it was really a good speech, and your listeners should go Google it and read it, I think are a new realism and project a new direction for American foreign policy.
What do you make of it, Marion?
You know, I would love to agree to Cal because it's Christmas, but I can't. This speech was confused. It was muddled. I have no idea what American foreign policy is after. A lot of congratulations for himself, a lot of build the wall. It sounded like one of his campaign rants to me. He did speak about how Russia and China are seeking to challenge American influence, values, and even wealth. But then he went on like a pathetic child to say about, oh, and by the way, Putin phoned me to congratulate me because of intelligence that the CIA had passed on to the Russian authorities, which Trump claimed had foiled a terrorist attack in St. Petersburg. And, you know, the sort of pathetic way that he needs the approval of Vladimir Putin, it's just kind of tragic. He really needs, I mean, this is a man baby of a president. You know, it's a 71-year-old, 2-year-old, and he really needs to grow up and start acting presidential. I mean, this year, 2017, I think it's been the most bruising. I've spent a lot of time in America. To me, it's been like a really horrible roller coaster. It's been bruising, exhausting, degrading for the American people, just horrible and completely disorienting, because the president is not acting like a president. And people really don't know where to look for security leadership, for moral leadership, for any kind of leadership other than this clown who keeps boasting about things and taking credit for things that he did not do. Anyway, sorry, happy Christmas to Donald Trump, if he's listening.
Marion, I think your next assignment should be Venezuela.
I'm sure if Trump has anything to do, then it will be.
Cal Thomas and Barry McKeown, thank you for all your contributions throughout 2017. We won't be talking to you again this week unless something dramatic happens and we may have to go back to you. But we look forward to both of you every Tuesday here in The Last Word throughout 2018. Thank you.
Happy
and have a very happy Christmas to both of you.
And happy
thank
Christmas.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.